I have been telling you that only thing that helped me survive through, besides my wife, through the COVID times was the Psalms. And I picked a group of Psalms that I thought I will study. And I studied them and I thought I'll share them again when we came to. They're called the Miktam Psalms. And as you can see in the introduction to ESV, it says a Miktam of King David. Miktam literally means lid. And so scholars think Miktam means a song that you say in your silence. And you can see in all of these situations, they're going through a turmoil. And instead of blaring out prayers as they do the rest of the time, at this particular time, they can only whisper a prayer. And this is a difficult one because the introduction to this psalm and the psalm doesn't match. Because when you hear the psalm and you heard Miriam read it for us, it sounded like God had abandoned Israel and they have been defeated in their wars and they are helpless and they're lost. But then when you look over there at the top, the introduction, it says, this is when Joab, which is one of the Israelites, he goes and he's the one who struck down 12,000 in Edom in the Valley of Salt. So this is not after a defeat that he is crying or the nations are crying out to the people. This is after a victory. Now, how could you go and defeat the Edom and kill 12,000 people and then come back and cry to God, oh, Lord, you defeated us. You didn't go to the war with us. Well, that's the reason I titled this, as you can win a battle, but you can lose a war, which is exactly what we saw during the time of COVID. Nations like Singapore, Taiwan, New Zealand had really restrained how much the COVID had spread. Singapore, 27 people died of COVID compared to countries like United States, where there were a lot more, or Brazil. But in the process, what did we do? We won the battle against COVID, but we lost the war. I'm just going to read a few statistics, and in statistics I'm not a major believer in. It said 1 in 4 Singaporeans lost their job due to COVID-19. It says 30 million people lost their jobs according to Wall Street Journal in the United States. It says 730,000 people in March alone lost their jobs in UK. 4,100,000 youth lost their job in India due to COVID-19 pandemic. And then this is just yesterday. 100 Indians in Singapore who work for different companies are being sent home a day if there is flights. Yeah? Millions have lost their job. Millions are going without hunger. World Health Organization says we already have a pandemic in the world, poverty. But with COVID that had multiplied by 3 or 4 times, that doesn't include all the other wars we lost. Heart attack is higher than ever before because there is hospitals. They can't attend to heart attack patients. Suicide is 500% in the world increased since we had COVID pandemic. Child abuse had increased. Domestic abuse had increased. The same men who went outside and drank and partied outside and prostituted themselves now are at home being trapped with their wives and children, the same people they still abuse. Sure, we won the battle on COVID, but we lost the war. Yeah. Well, how did these people win the battle and lost the war? We had to kind of jump down to 2 passages. One is familiar to you, 2 Kings 14, where they're talking about a king who was as good as David, but he didn't do everything David did. And the things that he refused to do, first was to knock down all the altars for other gods. When David became a king, he knocked down all the altars for other gods. And this particular king did not do that. The second thing that he did do, what David did, was to kill all the fathers when he would go into a war and leave all the wives and children all alone. That's exactly what happened with Joab when he struck down the 12,000 in Edom. 12,000 men are gone. Just imagine what that would have done to that country. They would have been devastated. No fathers to work the field, no fathers to protect them. 12,000 families with no fathers, 100, probably a lot more children with no father at home, fatherless, and orphans. Now, this comes out in the Greek translation of the same psalm. It is called Septuagint. In Septuagint, there is this line, a powerful line. I wish we would add that to our English Bible. It says, they cried this prayer when they orphaned multitudes. That's the reason they are praying this devastating lament, devastating cry, because God had sent them on war, and they had gone to the Valley of Salt and defeated 12,000 men, which means 30, 40, 50,000 wives and children with no fathers at home. Some of us are in leadership where we do have to make these tough decisions of firing people, knowing that father, that mother will go home with no food. I had pastor friends from Philippines crying out to us, please help. These are day wagers who cannot go to work. So no food. So our friends in the Philippines just give plain rice and tuna fish, canned tuna fish, so that people can have food. People in Northeast India, including Assam, wrote to us and said, we are feeding the poor. All we are giving them are dal and rice, but we still don't have money. My friends in South India wrote to us, people are scattered all over. You and I assume most of us are in a comfortable home with regular food. And in Singapore, for the people who are outside Singapore, we can get any food delivered at our door without them even looking at us. They'll hang it on the door and walk away. And so Andrew got this new hobby. I order food. There's nothing else to do. So now I can't get out of the door. Even though I'm free, I can go out. I'm too big to go out the door. But not the same with the rest of the world. I can't even begin to think what poverty is in India or Africa. We haven't even heard a word about Africa or South America. We may win the battle against COVID, but we have lost the battle. So I, along with the rest of the psalmist, cried a miktim, a silent cry. And I think many of us, by the way, thank you, all the church members and friends. You gave so generously in the last couple of months that every time we meet as elders, we are giving money away, money away, money away to help people like Naeem, people in Myanmar, and people in India, people in Nepal. And please keep giving. We would love to keep giving it away because people are really hurting and dying without food. Now, even if this passage has no meaning to you, many of us here are somewhere an alien. My old green card used to say, resident alien. Okay, I used to be an alien. I'm no longer an alien. So I have that picture somewhere, and I said to people, did you know I'm from another planet? I am a resident alien. I was auditioned for Men in Black 1 as an alien. Now you know half of my problems, right? Because I am from another planet. But all of us live in different countries. We have children all over. None of us are together. None of us are in our home. We all are strangers. We may not be at the same time as strange because of a war or because of a COVID or some other situation, but this psalm is so applicable. One of my friends used to say, she's from Korea. She's from America, but she's a Korean descent American. And they would ask her, well, where are you from? And she would say, California. And they would say, oh, yeah, but where are you really from? And she would say, California. She would say, we know, but where are you really, really from? And she would say, let's see. I was born in California. My parents were born in California. My grandparents were born in California. My great-grandfather came from Korea. I guess I am a Korean. By the way, where are your ancestors from? And they would say, oh, my grandfather migrated here from Scotland. So are you Scottish? No, I'm an American. Yeah. Every nation we go, we face that again and again. I've been always asked in Singapore, where are you from? My funny answer is, I say, the question they always ask me is, are you a Hindu? Yeah, apparently in Chinese language, Hindu is the word for Indian. And I would say, no, I'm a Christian. They would say, are you a Hindu? So now I say, yes, I'm a Hindu Christian. An Indian Christian. We're all strangers, lost in different places, not home yet. So this psalm really is applicable. Whether we are struggling through the COVID situation or the mere fact that we are strangers in a land, we don't belong in a land, this applies. So now let's turn to the psalm itself. I'm going to start with the introduction to the choir master according to Shushan Yiduth. No idea. But then it goes on to say a song in this tune of a valley in the, a dove in the valley, right? That's what, according to Shushan Edith, mentioned in ESV. In NIV, it says, according to a dove and a tree or something like that. When did we hear that song? Never. But for people from my generation, I'll give you a song to remember. I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy. That's the tune you're supposed to sing this song. Because we shot COVID. But we didn't shoot the poverty, yeah? But that's what ended up. So sing to yourself, I shot the sheriff, but I did not shoot the deputy. That's the tune you sing this song to, okay? Pastor Jim is going to fire me soon, yeah? And Rick too, yeah? And then, of course, it's an instruction, and then the description, then when it was written. Now look at the psalm itself. The first several verses, hopefully you received an outline. The first five verses are talking about their cry to God. Oh God, you have rejected us. Broken our defenses. You have been angry. Restore us. You have made the land to quake. You have torn it open. Repair its branches, breaches. For it totters. You have made your people see hard things. You have given them wine to drink and made them stagger. You have set a banner for those who fear you, and that they may flee to you from the bow. That your beloved ones may be delivered, give salvation by your right hand and answer you. And as I said, this is after a victory. And you would think, why are these people crying after a victory, saying God abandoned? The real key is kind of like in verse 3. You have made your people see difficult things. Now, I have never killed a person. The most I have killed is a fish. I still sympathize every time I catch a fish and kill the fish. I like my fish to come from the freezer. Yeah? They need to start growing them in freezers. The same way with chicken. I have become vegetarian every single day until I see the meat. I can't stop eating them. But I lie to myself, they come from a freezer. They are homegrown. Yeah. Last time I said this joke, I got so many people puzzled. So I won't say this joke, right? It is hard to kill a person. Please don't try. But it is difficult. I used to work at night shift with a coroner, a fellow who became a coroner. And he says in all the movies, like in Rambo, back then that was what was famous, that you stab a guy with the knife and you pull it out. He says, that is not easy to do. They make it sound so easy to do. First of all, stabbing itself is not easy. And then taking the knife out itself is not easy, unless you're a strong person. Then he says, all the trauma that you go with, these soldiers have gone, did as the Lord said, killed so many people. They've been made to see hard things. And just when you finish killing a father, you look outside and you see the mom and the children cry because he's not coming home anymore. 12,000 families. Yeah. That's not an easy thing to see. Unless you're heartless. But these people have hearts. And they see and they cry. And he says, you made us drink a wine that makes us stagger. Meaning the blood that they drank, I mean the wine that they drank is the blood that they are drenched in. Looks just like wine. But it doesn't bring happiness like a wine does. It staggers you. It hurts you. You walk away killing 12,000 people and you cannot rejoice. Yeah? That's the difficult thing that they saw. God sent them on this war. They had to fight that war. And they fought that war. But at the same time, they saw difficult, difficult things. So they cry a silent prayer. A prayer God will answer in a moment, but I want you to jump down to verse 10 and 12, because even after God had spoken, they still aren't happy. Yeah? Have you not rejected us, O God? You do not go forth, O God, with our armies. O grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of a person. With God we shall do valiantly. It is he who treads down the foes. They know, even though they cry out to God and God is going to give them an answer, they are still engaged in this war. They can't stop this war till Israel one day has total peace. Now that's sad to hear. Yeah, COVID may go away. We may come up with a vaccine in a few years, months, maybe weeks. But how about all the people that lost their family? All the suicide, all the abuse. Would they ever retrieve them back? Never. They had to still go on in life. Yeah, and so the people still cry and say, you're going to send us back into the war. We're going to see hard things, difficult things all over again. And I grieve for people like Noah and Sarah and Naeem and Jonathan, who are actually in countries, or even Micah, in countries where they see poor people day in and day out. I am talking about poor people who have no food. I'm not talking about people who have no car. I'm talking about people who have no food later in the day. Yeah, they're like the people that say we have enough food for one meal and that's it. If at all, they're lucky. Yeah, this poverty won't go away. These sufferings won't go away. We may win the battle on COVID, but we may lose the war worldwide on suffering and poverty. But the good thing is, we do have a God who cares for every people. Now, the accusation by the people is that you sent us to war. You made us do all these things. You made us see hard things. You made us drink difficult wine. But he says, I am doing them because they're all my people. Now, I want you to read this passage, and I want you to see the overall message. Okay? He starts by saying, God has spoken in his holiness with exultation, verse 6, I will divide up Shechem. I will portion out Valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim is my helmet. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. In Edom, I wash my feet. Over Philistia, I shout in praises. Now you notice I changed some of those verses. Because when you read verse 8, it seems to say God doesn't like Moab because it's a wash basin. And he doesn't like Edom because he had cast his shoe at them. Or he doesn't like Philistia because he shouts in trumpets. I'm convinced, based upon the Hebrew reading and the Greek reading of these words, it is actually saying, even though my head, my helmet, my scepter are in Judah, Ephraim, Gilead, Manasseh, they are my feet, my trumpet sounds, and my wash basin. They are also in people who you think are your enemies. People you think that I don't like. Moab, Edom, and Philistia. By the way, the word for Philistia is the other people. The scattered people. What God is saying is, at this moment, sure, I am protecting you. Sure, I am sending you to war. But every nation, it's still my possession. Now, it doesn't solve a huge tension in my mind. I haven't been able to solve it. I'm very sure Pastor Rick and Jim have solved it. So please give them the call. Please text them and ask them, how could such a holy God send them to fight the other people? Don't ask me. I haven't found the solution yet. I do know I am not God. As such, I do know I have no idea of his plans. As such, I say to myself a mantra, nevertheless, he is holy. I have no idea how to reconcile some of these. Matter of fact, sometimes I wish some of these stories in the Old Testament and some of these Psalms are not in the Old Testament. I like a happy God. I like a God that gives everybody Christmas gifts every day. Right? But we know life is like that. I have a feeling it has a lot to do with Adam letting the sin into the world, Adam letting the death into the world, and one day we would all have resurrection of life, and then we will understand God's actions. In the meantime, I have no clue, except I know one thing. God may have his feet in India from our perspective, but it is still his India. God may have wash basin in Philippines, but it is still his wash basin. God may have his trumpet in Africa, but it is still his Africa. Every land is his. Which takes me to say, if he cares that much for the land, he cares much more for the people in that land. We cause this to ourselves. We shut ourselves in. We made thousands and millions of people lose their job. But God will care for them. Sometimes he cares for them through you and me. And he has provided through brothers like Naeem to people who need the food. But then sometimes we are not the instruments. He still cares for them. And that's the only hope that kept me through the crazy times we went through. All the emails I get from India, all the text messages I get from Philippines. The only hope I knew is God still cares for those poor people. He's making us see things that we don't want to see, difficult things to see, and drink wine that is staggering us, making us crazy. But he says, I still care. My foot basin is still with them. My trumpet is still with them. My helmet is still with them. My feet is still in their land. I still care for these people. Now one day, he proved it through his own son. His son came, died for the entire world, and commissioned his people with one command. Go to all the nations. Not one, not two, all 200 plus. I think there's about 247 nations. All of them. Go and proclaim the gospel. I am with you. Through the Son, whatever the damage that we saw in the Old Testament and all the sadness we saw will one day be totally reversed. Nations will hear good news. Remember that Christmas message to the nation, to the shepherds? Proclaim the good news. The whole world will see his glory. Why, Lord, have you made us see all these horrible things and see millions of people without jobs, millions of families struggling to make ends meet? He would say, I am still in control. I still provide. Then he may say, would you join me? And that's an answer we need to do. Yeah, shall we pray? Our Father, we are grieved beyond words to see so many people lose their job, take their lives, be addicted to alcohol, drugs, hurt their families, hurt their children, domestic abuse, no food, take their lives out of desperation. But we know you still care. Hard for us to see. We almost want to say, don't you care? Don't you see what we see? Why are you silent? And you say to us that you still care. You care to the point you sent your son to die for us. You care to the point you said, believe him, I will give you eternal life. You care to the point to say, I'm going to send you as messengers to proclaim the good news to people who are desperate, who are struggling, who have no hope. Help us not to forget these lessons and know that you are a caring, loving, heavenly Father. In the Lord Jesus' name I pray. Amen.